today on Real Radio.
Verse 7, do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must. It's not a suggestion. He's not offering it up as an option. Jesus said, you must be born again.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his topical series called You Need to Know, a series of lessons on the essentials of our faith. We often hear the phrase, born again. Certain celebrities, politicians, maybe people you know personally, claim to be, quote, born again, while their lifestyles don't seem to reflect it. But from a truly biblical definition, exactly what does it mean to be born again, or born from above, as some New Testament passages read? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs to explain. It's a lesson called You Need to Know, all about being born again.
All about being born again. And this, if you're visiting here, is part of a series You Need to Know. We started this series some time ago. We paused our verse-by-verse teaching through the Bible, and we decided that because of the time and the age in which we live in, it would be good for me as your pastor teacher to make sure you knew the essentials of biblical doctrine. Doctrine meaning teaching. That I didn't want to take the time to go through another teaching and have you somehow miss the key elements that actually define Christianity. How do you know you're a Christian? What is it that you have to believe to be a Christian? And so today, we look at being born again, and we'll touch on it today, and we'll spend the next several weeks looking at this because, quite frankly, it's too deep, it's too important, it's too critical. And so this morning, we're looking at the third chapter of John, and we'll touch on several verses of it. But in our theme verse today, John 3, verses 6 and 7, there Jesus speaks, and in verse 6 it says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. You ought to circle the word flesh right there, please, if you would, in your Bible. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. You ought to circle the word spirit. Verse 7, do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must. It's not a suggestion. He's not offering it up as an option. Jesus said, you must be born again. And I know some of you have come from religious backgrounds. You've never even heard that term before. You've gone in and out of a church and you've never heard these words. Jesus himself said, you must be born again. And if that wasn't enough, coming from the words of Christ himself, take note who he's speaking it to. Nicodemus. Nicodemus, the ruler of Israel, the man who was paid and groomed throughout his entire life to know the Bible. A wealthy man, influential man. A man who spoke for the nation, spoke for God to the people, Nicodemus. And Jesus turns to him and says, you're going to miss heaven, Nick, unless you're born again. You've got to be born again, is Jesus' words. Why? Because man is in need of salvation. We looked for 3 weeks at the gospel, the need of the gospel, the giving of the gospel. That the gospel from Genesis to Revelation is God's message to man. But if you had to point to the nucleus of the gospel, what would it be? Jesus would shout again this morning, you must be born again. And that's an amazing thing because with passion and with zeal, Jesus gave that mandate to Nicodemus, and I believe the Holy Spirit, well, I know he does, gives it to all of us. You must be born again. And you might say, well, what does it mean to be born again? And that's what we're going to be looking at. What does it mean? And what are we talking about? Well, first of all, to be born again is the doctrine of regeneration. You ought to write that down. It's an important word. Regeneration. You say, well, what does that mean? It means to be born again. To be born again is to be regenerated. You say, well, what do those words mean? It means to be, listen, it means to be born from above. It means to be changed. It means to be reborn, renew. It means to be converted. We use the words in Christianese. You know, we talk Christianese to each other. We use words like this. Hey, bro, are you saved? Only a Christian knows what you're talking about. You walk up to a non-believer and say, are you saved? And he's thinking, what? Christians have their own language. If you're saved, you're born again. If you're not born again, you're not saved. You can be religious until the cows come home. You're not born again. You're not going to heaven. That's what Jesus said. So don't you think that the letters in your Bible, written in red and spoken to a man of great outward righteousness, don't you think that it is screaming at us to know what it means? If it's so critically important, and you bet it is absolutely important to us. So our first and one and only point for today is this. You need to know in your Bible doctrine all about being born again. Number one is this. What does it mean to be born again? And it means this. The word born here in the Greek original language of the Greek Bible means to be brought forth or to be begotten. You've heard the Bible say that Jesus is the begotten of God. Well, listen, every true believer, every true Christian has been begotten, we'll see in a moment, from or by the Holy Spirit. The word born is to be begotten or brought forth. It's the Spirit of God that brings a man or a woman out of darkness into a new life, out of being en route to hell and bound for heaven. He takes them out of their self-centered life and gives them a life of Christ-centered purposeness. You're born again, born. The word again here means from above. Simply that, to be brought forth from above. The word born again is to be brought forth from above. Born again. So the first thing that we see right here is what does it mean to be born again? Is that you and I need the new life from above. We need this new life. In fact, listen, without it, there is no salvation for us. It's very, very clear. And note here what Jesus is saying. He's announcing in chapter 3, verse 3, that our earthly life is completely opposed to, inadequate for, or incapable of getting you and I to heaven. Church, listen. He says in verse 3, Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." This is shocking because you've got to put yourself into the scene for a moment. Nicodemus is the man. Listen, honestly, it's easy for me to say this because it's so blatantly true. His righteousness, Nicodemus's outward righteousness, puts me, all of us, to shame. The man tithed like you can't believe. He was a Pharisee. He gave more to God than you and I will probably ever give. He tithed not only his money, but he tithed, for example, if he got a thimble of salt, did you know that he would tithe a portion of that salt to God? Do you do that? I don't do that. When you get your hot crushed peppers for your pizza, do you tithe part of that to God? I don't. He did. He was so committed. He tithed the tenth of all that he had. And he knew the word of God inside and out. He just studied it. No Xbox for him. No ESPN. The guy was devoted to God. He was the priest. He wore the garbs. Everybody knew, and he had the power, and he could influence the nation because the nation looked to him because he had God's ear. And Jesus said to him, unless you're born again, you're lost. Jesus is saying you are lost unless you're born again. What a shock. Can you imagine being him? Well, we can't because he was groomed for that all of his life. And then here is this one, this almost sage, this rabbi, teacher of the word, yes, but he's the son of a carpenter. He's a carpenter himself. And yes, the mystique of his life, even his conception and where he was born, that the rumor had been all about Jesus all his life growing up. And Nicodemus, something's going on in this man's life because Nicodemus comes to him at night and we'll see in a moment, ask him a question, and Jesus just peels the onion right back. Why? Because, my friend, your soul is that important to God, so much so that he'll just shoot straight right between the eyes to get you to think, because God will not allow you to assume you're going to heaven. God is not into assumptions. The Bible says in 1 John, these things have been written that you might, good job, know you have eternal life. You're to know it. And Jesus is confronting the lineage, the heritage, the legacy of Nicodemus and his upbringing. And it had to be a shocking moment. Let's look at it more in context. John 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, now listen, any man would love to hear what Jesus is about to hear from a man of this stature. Rabbi, that means Bible teacher. We know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs, miracles that you do, unless God is with him. If that was said to you and I, we'd go, well, thank you very much. It's nice of you to notice. Oh my goodness. Would you like to have some tea? Do you think Jesus responds like that? Jesus goes for the throat. With all love, he goes for the throat. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, how do we translate that, most assuredly? Hey! Most assuredly. Yo! Dude! How would we stress that today? I'm talking to you! Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born, watch this, mark it down. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That ain't going to help you one bit. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He's talking about two absolutely separate births. One is of the earth, one is not. One is of water in this world, the other one is not. The other one is of the Spirit from another world. Verse 7, do not marvel that I said to you. Pause right there at that comma. Can you imagine the look on Nicodemus' face at that moment? Jesus, it must have been so amazing. Jesus said, don't marvel at this. Don't be wide-eyed and open-mouthed. I wonder if Jesus would have reached over and put his lower jaw back up to his upper jaw and got his attention and said to him, don't marvel at this. He says to him, you must be born again. You must be born from above to be a citizen of heaven. You must be born again, born from above, to be a child of God. We need a new life, my friend, from above. The life that you and I have, born of water, born into this world, we all came through our mamas into this world. We were born once. You're here right now. You were born once. You were given life. You're living life right now. You're living the life that you're living, I should say, right now. It may not be a life of life, but you're living a life. But no matter who we are, if Nicodemus walked in here today, the word would still be true. Isn't this awesome about your Bible, the eternal word of God? The truth 2,000 years ago is the truth today. You must be born again. Jack, you need to be born again, Jesus would say. He would say to you, you know, Karen or Mike, you need to be born again. And what would we do? Would we say, how can these things be? What would we stumble over with that challenge from God? What would trip us up? I'll have you know, I've been a registered voter all my life. I'm a moral person. I've been a member of the church all my life. I've gone to Calvary Chapel. Jesus would say, you must be born again. But my father was a preacher and my grandfather was a preacher. Jesus would say, you need to be born again. But I gave money to the church. Jesus would say, you need to be born again. You'll never see the kingdom of heaven. What's beautiful about this, from one end of the sanctuary to the other, that brings all of us on the same level playing field before the cross of Christ. Think of it for a moment. Have you had a lustful thought in your mind? Did you advance that lustful thought? Are you proud? Do you see yourself better than other people? Do you have a temper problem, an ego problem, whatever it might be? It's all sin. Is it a sexual problem? Is it a material problem? It's all sin. Jesus says to humanity, you must be born again. You must have a birth from above. You've already been born from this earth through the coming of the life and through your mother and of this world. You live in the flesh. You were born in the flesh. I get that. I understand that. But to get to heaven, need to be born from above. That's by the Spirit of God. And so in just a few short verses, from verse 3 to verse 7, twice Jesus says, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then he says again, you must be born again. The next thing we make note of is that you and I are to receive that life from God. It must come from God. That excludes all personal efforts on our own. Now listen carefully, everybody. This excludes personal merit, personal effort. Jesus said you must be born from above. Can I ask you a question? I sure hope you answer this right. What involvement did you have in your conception and development and delivery? None. You, so to speak, went with the flow. You didn't get out and jump up on the table and say, whoa, that was tough, but I made it. No, you didn't. You were born into this world by the efforts of others. And Jesus is saying, you'll be born into the world to come, the world from above, by the effort of not others exactly, but the effort of one. Christ will go to the cross. He'll die on the cross for our sins. The Bible says he'll be resurrected from the dead. Jesus will. That's what he was saying. I'm going to provide the way of a new life for you. You must be born again. It's an awesome statement, but you have to receive that. Now, I need to share this because you and I have been brought up in the West predominantly. I know we have some friends from Egypt and other parts of the world. I understand that. You'll get this better than most of us. But when we receive, we're to receive Christ, we're to receive God. You say, now, wait a minute. What does that mean? Listen, how many of you accepted Christ? Like, for example, I went forward. Greg Laurie gave the gospel on June 20th. It's a Monday night, 1877 or 1977. And I went forward that night. It was a little bit before 9 o'clock in the evening on a Monday night. I'll never forget it. I went forward that night. I raised my hand, and then I got up and I went forward. How many of you accepted Christ and you went forward at a church? Something like that, raise your hand. How many of you went forward at a crusade? Raise your hands. Like Billy Graham crusade or Harvest crusade? Wow, by far most of you from a church outreach or something like that, or a service. Great, listen. Western mindset, that's how we function. And that's not bad, but watch this. Listen to this. If you get up, Lisa and I have met a lot of people like this, and when you go evangelizing on the streets or sharing with people, you'll meet a lot of people like this who will say, you'll share Christ with them, and they'll say, it's okay, you don't have to share Christ with me. I went forward at the crusade. That immediately is the wrong answer. And anyone who's born again knows that's the wrong answer. I don't have to beat that into you. You know it's true. You would never say, oh, it's okay. I'm saved. I was baptized. Baptism doesn't save you. The Bible says it doesn't save you. So going forward at the crusade doesn't save you. Being baptized doesn't save you. Someone might say, you don't have to talk to me. I was circumcised. I'm automatically going to heaven. That doesn't save you. Read the book of Romans. Read the book of Galatians. It doesn't save you. Somebody might say, it's okay, I'm saved, and they fill in the blank. Are you with me? Doesn't save you. You could say to me today, Pastor, I prayed the sinner's prayer. That doesn't save you. You can come forward. You can pray the prayer, but unless there is, as Charles Spurgeon put it, divine intercourse between you and God, and there's a transformation on the inside taking place that justifies the outward external actions, you're only religious. You understand that? You're not born again. And this is a critical thing. You say, Pastor, you keep talking like this, I'm not coming back. Listen, I would rather say this to you, and by the way, let me remind you, if you're having a battle with this, it's not between you and I. I'm giving you God's word. If you're having a battle with this right now, I would suggest that's the Holy Spirit that's getting a hold of you today. Because you might have walked in here today saying, I'm okay with God. And you keep telling yourself that, I'm okay with God. Maybe you're not, I don't know. But have you received that new life from God that comes from above? The Bible tells us that we are to receive Christ. It's not going through those motions I mentioned a moment ago. It is an actual, true, factual reception of Christ, which means this. Jesus, I need you as my Lord and Savior. I agree with your word. I'm a sinner, and you are my Savior, and I surrender today. I come to you. I can't save myself. I can't reform myself. I can't better myself. I come with all of what I am and the failures and the... I come with all my sin. I come. And you receive him. Jesus goes on to say something extremely strange until he begins to unpack it for us. John 3, verse 8, at the front end of that verse, follow along with me. The Bible says there, the wind blows. Jesus says, the wind blows where it wishes. And you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. You ever think of that? The wind blows. He's talking about Nicodemus. Listen, Nick, you've known everything through a liturgical process all the days of your life. And what I'm talking about, Nicodemus, is not some program. You know, a lot of people join a church and they get inserted into the program. And listen carefully, everybody. For your life, you may have been part of the program, but have never been saved. Jesus tells Nicodemus, it's like this, the wind blows, right? And you can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going. That's how the Spirit moves. I don't know about you, but my eyes are very sensitive to wind. And when the Santa Ana winds blow, I'd rather stay indoors. I mean, I got to wear glasses, if not goggles. One thing for sure, you open your eyes and you can tell which way the wind's coming from, right? And you see which way it's going. But can you grab it? Can you grab the wind? You know from proximity that it must be coming north and it's blowing west. The way it comes down through our crazy valley here, comes down over the desert out of the north and makes a sharp turn and heads out to the sea. And you can figure that out because what? You look at the trees blowing. What's the evidence? The wind blows and it affects the trees. You can't see the wind blowing. You cannot see the wind. You only see the leaves blowing as a result of the wind. You got that? We take that for granted. Jesus says that's how it is with the life of the Spirit. What is? It's invisible by nature. But outwardly, the effect of the wind is seen by all people. Everyone sees the effects of the wind. Jesus is saying, Nicodemus, that's exactly what I'm talking about. The Spirit of God lays hold of someone's life. You can't figure it out. But I tell you what, you can sure see the effects of it. Jesus announces to us that a born-again life is a life that is received from above, and it is a changed life. It is a life that is passionately devoted to mirroring the image of Christ the best you can. And when you fail, the Holy Spirit takes over. But that's only after you've been born again. You live for God. You want to know more about God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About Being Born Again. It's actually a mini-series taken from Pastor Jack's collection of studies on the essentials of our faith. It's called You Need to Know. We'll continue with more of You Need to Know All About Being Born Again on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, did you know that Real Radio is made possible by the donations of our listeners? And did you know that you can be part of that? Simply go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And of course, we've made that real easy for you to navigate. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Then click the button that says donate. You can give a one-time gift, a monthly gift, or a yearly gift at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.